I'm recording in progress.
Public tonight. Right, so I'd like to welcome everyone to this April 20th meeting of the Santa Cruz Valley Water Agency Public Affairs and Legislative Committee. I have some announcements before we start. This meeting is being conducted in person at the Engineering Services Section Boardroom. As a convenience to the public, members of the public may also participate virtually by logging into the agency's Zoom meeting. Any member of the public may listen to the meeting or make comments to the committee using the call-in number or Zoom webinar link. In the event that there is a disruption of service which prevents the agency from broadcasting the meeting to members of the public using either the call-in option or internet-based service, the meeting will not be postponed or rescheduled, but will continue without remote participation. The remote participation option is being provided as a convenience to the public, but is not required. Members of the public are welcome to attend the meeting in person. To participate in public comment from your computer, tablet, or smartphone, when I announce the agenda item you wish to speak on, please click the raised hand feature in Zoom. You will be notified when it is your turn to speak. Please unmute when requested. To participate in public comment via phone, when I announce the agenda item you wish to speak on, dial *9 to raise your hand. Phone participants will be called on by the last two digits of your phone number or by name. When it is your turn to speak, dial *6 to unmute. The procedures for tonight's meeting are as follows. I will introduce each agenda item. Staff will present. I will ask for public comment. I will then ask for discussion and questions from the committee members. The committee will then come to consensus to move an item to the board for consideration. Any PowerPoints shown at tonight's meeting will be posted on the SWB Water website. We have two committee members present at this time, Director Armitage and Director Gutzeit. We are missing Director Bronstein and Director Cawley. We'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance. Director Armitage, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Sure. Please stand. Put your hand over your heart. Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic,
one nation,
under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With a soundtrack.
The first item is public comment. Do we have any online? We have no public presence.
We do have one, but there is none at this
point. For item two?
Yes.
All right. Make sure that is off now. All right. Then we will begin with item three, legislative consultant reports. The first one being Jeff Bowman from Venn Square Associates.
Good evening. It's good to see everybody tonight. Congress this week came back after taking a two-week recess. They've got a very important item on the agenda right now that's going to pull a lot of the oxygen out of the room, so to speak. They have to address the debt limit. Right now, the debt limit, the nation's debt limit is capped at $31.4 trillion. We will likely exceed that perhaps as early as June. The House next week is going to vote to extend that debt limit by about another $1.5 trillion or through March of next year, whichever comes first. They have a couple of additional provisions that they want to include. The White House wants a clean debt limit extension. House Republicans, were in the majority, they are not going to go along with that, at least not for now. So they've proposed several cuts to existing programs, to discretionary programs, while increasing other programs by about 1% over the next 10 years. Happy to go into more details about that. The one thing that this will do is it will delay a little bit the annual appropriations process. As I reported last month, we had engaged with the congressional delegation, Congressman Garcia, Senators Padilla and Feinstein, on a request for funding for the S-Wells project. We learned yesterday that Senator Padilla had indeed requested $3 million for that project through the Interior EPA STAG account, State and Tribal Assistance Grants Program, through the Environmental Protection Agency. We don't know quite yet if Congressman Garcia has requested that project. He has not put his 15 earmark requests on his website but we've been kind of hitting the refresh button last couple of days to see if he indeed requested that. This clears the first hurdle for us. Now it's a matter of a couple of other steps that Congress has to take. They're going to have to do full committee markups of their bills at the committee level. That'll ensure that the bills then can get to the respective floors, and they'll have to conference the bills amongst the House and Senate and send a bill to the president. That is a lot more difficult than I just made it sound. But again, a good news story yesterday. We cleared the first hurdle. We're in the Senate process for FY 2024. In terms of PFAS, I've kept you guys up to speed on kind of the proposed drinking water standard. A couple of dates that are really important that we've got circled and started on our calendar right now. May the 30th is when the public comments are due to EPA on the proposed drinking water standard. We will be participating in that process. There is also a virtual public hearing on May the 4th. You have to register for that on April the 28th. We're looking into perhaps providing some verbal testimony at that event. We're also going to be coordinating on some themes with some of the trade associations that SCB Water is a member of, as well as some of the other trade associations that we work with in Washington, D.C. In terms of other agency engagements, I actually ran into the district commander of the Army Corps of Engineers, Los Angeles District. It was had just by happenstance. It was at the Army Corps of Engineers headquarters yesterday morning. We had a conversation about Arundo removal. I don't have much else to tell you other than they are digging in on this. Back in 2021, SCB Water filed a letter of intent to partner with the Corps of Engineers. There is $50,000 that was provided by Congress for this activity on the upper Santa Clara River Basin. So I'm supposed to talk with the deputy district engineer here in a couple weeks. I may ask that Steve Cole join me in that engagement to better explain what we're trying to do. Still have not been able to make a lot of progress on the FY 2023 funding for Bouquet Canyon, but I'm optimistic I'll have a better handle on this a month from now when I report back to you guys. And then lastly, in the agencies, you guys seem to be interested in the Colorado River. On April 11th, the Department of the Interior issued a draft supplemental environmental impact statement to the 2007 Colorado River Accord, essentially laying out two separate action, three alternatives, but there was one that was a no action alternative that the Bureau Commissioner Camille Tootin suggested that was not the alternative they were going to pursue. The two alternatives, the first would basically target Arizona and Nevada for a majority of the water reductions and water allocations. Then the second alternative would kind of share the pain of future shortages between the lower basin states, Arizona and Nevada and California. There is a 45-day review period. They will be holding four virtual public meetings to provide information on the draft supplement EIS, answer questions, and the hearings are on May 4th, May 8th, May 10th, and May 16th. And with that, I'll close and happy to answer any questions you have for me tonight.
Perfect. Thank you, Jeff. Do we have any director questions on the federal report?
First of all, thank you for your report, your written and your presentation, always helpful. So I did have a question on the bipartisan legislation for water management data that was introduced. And so I happened to actually be in the presence of Rick Vassilopoulos today at an event. So I actually asked him to bring me up to speed on where do we get our evapotranspiration data that we use for this agency? So he explained it to me. So ultimately, with all that information that I've already asked and received information on, I guess I just want to know if this passes, it would just be another option for water agencies and other water users to use, right? We wouldn't have to switch over to this data.
No, it would help inform federal decision makers. And again, okay. See, I think you said it better than I possibly could. Yes, it is another tool in the toolbox.
Okay. Sounds good. That's it. Thank you. Oh, wait, one more thing I was going to say is, so the event that I went to today was hosted by Tree People, and it was largely on the topic of Arundo removal. And it was actually really great to get out there and see in person the issues that we're facing and how they're attacking it up here in Santa Clarita. But then we drove down to Fillmore and saw how they're attacking it down in that area, which different techniques. And so when you mentioned $50,000 for a rendo, one of the things I learned today is that's a very small amount.
Sure. Yeah.
So I'm wondering if there's negotiation to work that number up. So
that came up in the conversation, the $50,000. And when speaking with the deputy district engineer, he said he didn't know what he could do with that. Now, that $50,000 would likely be matched by another $50,000 by SCV Water. While it is in the construction account, those funds will likely be used to execute what we call an FCSA, or a feasibility cost sharing agreement between the Corps of Engineers and SCV Water, to then proceed to sort of the next step, which would likely be a design memorandum of a very small Arundo removal project. We would still be on the hook to seek federal appropriations to pay for the construction of that. You can get up to $10 million federal for that type of project. So ultimately, this is a sort of a glide path to what could become in total about a $13 million project. It's a 65-35 cost share on construction. So that's what we're kind of going towards. We're at the very initial first step. We're in the budget for 23. There's money to this. Now it's a matter of executing with the LA district, and I hope to get back in touch with the deputy district engineer here in a couple of weeks with Steve Cole and others, and we can kind of map out a path forward.
Okay, and then just to follow up on that, the other thing, a big takeaway for me today was the reason why the techniques are so different as to how it's being approached up here versus further down in Fillmore is they got a permit to get heavy machinery in there and just basically dredge up all the rhizomes that need to come out to get rid of it. Whereas we don't have, they won't allow us to do that up here. So I'm just wondering, are we chasing money that we ultimately can't use if the U.S. Army Corps of Engineer, you know, I'm just wondering what's the process that would be used? Because they're literally just like using saws to saw certain sections and then applying certain chemicals. So I just want to make sure we're chasing money that we can actually use.
Find a way to use it, I think. There'll be a way to use it.
We're not limited to techniques.
Yeah. I don't know. I think as Jeff was kind of walking through, the first step is doing kind of this feasibility analysis. Yeah. So that's why the dollar amount was low to try and work with the Corps to define what the project would be.
Okay.
And then that would open the gate to potentially additional funds. So yeah, there hasn't been any discussion of
The one thing I would just add is that the Army Corps of Engineers is, unlike a lot of infrastructure programs, the Corps of Engineers is the contracting agency. So they would be the ones ultimately that would carry out the work, but they can't do anything without the non-federal partner, which is SCV Water. So as you develop sort of your study, as you develop sort of the design, the pre-construction components, the engineering, you will have a great deal of latitude working with the Corps of Engineers and the types of methods, I think, in how to ultimately remove that Arundo.
Okay, great, thank you.
One question on the way out, Jeff, what, if any of the programs that are proposed by the Republicans to be cut would affect water? Is there any water-specific things that we need to be concerned about, or is it mostly not affect us?
So in order to, so what the House is going to do is they are going to try in the annual appropriations process to increase the Department of Defense budget, to increase the budget of the Department of Veterans Affairs. And then they would like to cut all the rest of the programs back by 20%. That would include everything at the EPA. That would include everything at Health and Human Services. That would include everything at the Army Corps of Engineers, for instance, since that seems to be a hot topic tonight. I don't know today. I can't crystal ball for you that would actually pass the House.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure certain that will not pass the Senate. There won't be a single Democrat House member that votes for that. There won't be a single senator that votes for that. But I do think that's the path the House is going down, is that they will see large reductions to discretionary programs. The House majority would like to return sort of the budget back to 2022 levels, not to 2023, which were fairly higher than ever. So I think there will be some substantial cuts if and when the House acts. But I also think that will just be the beginning of a longer negotiation.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Very interesting. Appreciate it. If we don't have any more questions, we'll see you next time. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. I didn't ask. We have any public comment? Okay. Did you say there is someone in the public comment?
There is.
Okay. All right. But you will remind me if somebody raises their hand. All right. Next up is Dennis Albiani, Anthony Molina, and Annalie Aiken from California Advocates.
Good evening, all. Dennis, I think you're muted right now.
Well, thank you. That was good to know. Thank you very much for the opportunity to come talk to you today. I happen to be in a parking lot in the Bay Area, but no, I'm not going to the Kings Warrior game. That's a different thing, but I'm over here for one of my student that goes to Cal. So anyways, regardless, so we are in the thick of the legislative system right now. And we are, so about 1,500 bills are being heard essentially in the month of April. And so, yesterday, today, or next week, there are, hearings going on the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of every week, and then budget hearings quite often on Monday and Thursday. So that's what we're doing. So this is the busiest time of the year right now, and there's a lot going on. And then there's some regulatory things that are happening as well. So that's what we'll cover very quickly. First, I want to start, before we get too much of the regulatory, congratulations to Santa Clarita and all the state water contractors. Just announced today that you get 100% allocation. And so that's the first time in 17 years. So that was kind of exciting to see that there'll be a full allocation of water. And I just drove over yesterday to to Monterey and the Santanella, and the reservoir is completely full. And obviously there's a lot of preparation as we go for flood, managing the water as it comes down, whether it's flood or normal flows. But there's a lot of discussion on that, a lot of preparation on that. Jeff discussed the Army Corps, our Bureau or State Department of Water Resources, and the Bureau are working hard on that. So that's an ongoing conversation in Sacramento as well. On bills, the biggest, probably the most assertive conversations, and we're having them at AQUA, we're having them at the State Ledge Committee, is on the water rights bills, is what they call them. And it's a very sophisticated package of bills that would, provide additional authority to the State Water Board for curtailments, additional authority for penalties and enforcement. And I think the penalties and enforcement areas is where there's opportunities for further, engagement and to see how we can get better enforcement. But some of the state water contractors and the directive has been are concerned about some of the curtailments and the lack of due process at the water board. Essentially, the way that one of the bills by Bauer Cahan is structured is they become the investigator, the judge, jury, and executioner, and then they basically shift the burden to the water agency that they have to prove they have the right to take water at any time they're pumping, and they could curtail. The water board would have the authority to curtail and mandate it. And then if you don't believe that's correctly taken, then you go to court, and that could take several years to get that. So that's really the balance of the conversations, and then how they, if they could, and how they would curtail and quantify pre-1914 rights. That doesn't affect the state water contractors per se, but that's where all the conversations, and it's, in fact, we've had two additional emergency state ledge committee meetings, one actually today at lunch, to go over these bills of amendments have occurred. And so that's an ongoing conversation. Yesterday, they had the two bills up from the assembly. Bauer Cahan has 460 and Buffy Wicks has 1337. And they did a special order of business, meaning they take them out of file order and put them in there. And that went from 9 o'clock all the way until almost noon. And then they adjourned the meeting because they needed to do other things and came back in the evening last night for the rest of the hearing. And so you could see that these are very contained. The other 10 bills were heard after, 4, 5 o'clock. And so, you know, late nights and a lot of discussion and contention, but very good discussion. We advocated to Ms. Schiavo is on the committee. And so she know their staff a couple times, brought a whole coalition in and did that. And so she was very engaged, asked very good questions. The bills moved on a party line vote, but they were definitely, whether it was Democrat or Republican, they got a lot of questions, a lot of conversation about what the proper amount of enforcement authority in that is. So that's probably the most contentious set of bills this year, the most concerning to the state water contractors and Santa Clarita Valley Water Agency. And in the write-up, there's a whole, you know, discussion of each one and the bills themselves. The other bill is a Bennett bill, which will be coming in May because it's non-fiscal. And so that bill was not part of the special order yesterday, but it's also one to have conversation on. And with that, I'm going to turn it quickly over to Anna Lee on the budget and some of the other things that she's working on. And then the only other issue we'll talk about momentarily is the regulations of the advanced clean fleets, which will be heard next week. So, Anna Lee.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for your time tonight. Regarding the state budget, the next big step is the May revise, which has to come out by May 10th. That's the governor's deadline. Usually it comes out on May 10th. So we'll be looking for that and see what updates the governor's made to his January proposals. Typically, he uses data that comes in from the April 15th tax deadline. But as you know, most of the counties, and I just saw before this that even 4 more counties were added, but I don't know if the tax deadline applies to them, but most of Californians had a tax deadline extension until October. So it will be interesting to see if a lack of that tax data really changes how predictions are made for the May revise. But regarding Santa Clarita specifically, we did work with Assemblywoman Schiavo's office and gave her our funding priorities. So we'll be on the look out for those. And then after the May 10th, May revise, the legislature is going to have their own budget process and they have a June 15th deadline to pass it. So we'll keep you up to date on what is happening regarding the budget, water, and your local priorities. A few other bills to highlight on the operational level for you to be aware of. The Senate Governance and Finance Committee met this week and they discussed a couple bills related to the Brown Act. They don't affect Santa Clarita specifically right now, but we're monitoring them because they are having significant amendments. SB 411 regarding open meetings and teleconferences would allow bodies of a local agency to teleconference without making public each location, which is important for safety reasons. That actually was just amended to only apply to LA neighborhood councils. Another one that deals with the same extension of allowing teleconferencing is SB 537 by Becker, and that only applies to multi-jurisdictional local agencies. And some amendments that were taken in that bill include a sunset and specific requirements. So these bills are being amended to be pretty narrow. There's another one, AB 557, up next week that's applicable to local agencies. So we're going to be watching that one to see if there are amendments, a possible sunset date, or any requirements that your body needs to be aware of for, like I said, operational purposes. Another bill that we've been keeping our eye on was SB 3 by Senator Dodd. This is the one that we thought might be amended to into a water rate assistance program similar to last year's bill, and it hasn't been amended yet. And we also saw that this week you guys passed your own water rate assistance program, so congratulations on that. So we're still monitoring this one to see if it is going to be amended, but right now it's still applies to just title is the Water Shutoff Protection Act. So it is applicable to if agencies have to discontinue residential service, it has specific procedures in place in this bill. So we're seeing if that gets amended more or if it just stays in that topic.
And then finally, I mentioned the regulatory process. On April 27th, CARB will pass the Advanced Clean Fleets. And we've been advocating, coordinating with AQUA and others on getting the emergency exemption. And it's actually not really exemption. It's kind of an extension applicable to water entities. And that there's some concern that certain utility vehicles that are used to you know, an emergency, that if there was a shutdown for multiple days, you couldn't be able to charge them, things like that. There were concerns. And again, that would apply just to those vehicles. That extension has not been fully granted to water vehicles. And, you know, there's the CARB staff and the directors have been very specific and keeping it to a specific code that are, you know, first responders. And then, so AQUA kind of was very creative and started to look at all the metrics of the vehicles and try to get some more flexibility there. And so, you know, we've been advocating with them, and that's an ongoing, and it's very likely that April 27th, that will be passed, and it will not include the preferred exemption for water vehicles, but there will be some opportunities to continue to talk about that and the data and the matrix that to get a little bit more flexibility there. So that's a significant issue that's coming up for the entire water community, and Santa Clara has been very engaged in that. With that, that's our report. Are there any questions?
All right. Any directors have questions on the state report? No public comment.
Yeah.
Go ahead. You go first.
Okay. Well, first of all, thank you for your written report and your presentation. So yay on the 100% allocation. That's good news. Woo-hoo. So a couple questions. One is the list that Ms. Akin referenced of funding priorities that went to Assemblywoman Schiavo. Is that the one that we have a copy? Is that the same as the letter we have that we signed, or is it a different list of priorities?
Probably not. Well, it could be the letter you have. Which letter are you referencing?
Yeah, it's a
of the three bullets on it. Yeah.
So that's the same thing. Yes. Okay. I just want to make sure we're not sending two separate lists of priorities that don't mesh. Yeah. Okay, very good. And then to clarify, you were giving us information on those bills related to teleconferencing. The one that you said was specific to the LA neighborhood councils. That's still separate, right? Didn't a bill pass that allows agencies like ours to be able to have us teleconference in without disclosing our location? Did that pass? I know we were talking about that last year.
Yes, it did. And that was, but that's if you're, again, that has to be approved and there's a process for that, which is great. And that's why we're watching them to make sure, I mean, you know, Director, a good site, you know, gave the full statements earlier and begin on that. All of those, you know, those are all requirements that if you're going to have remote participation and that it, you know, there is a process and they really want it to be open, but they don't want people, you know, they want safety and protection and appropriateness, but not, you know, hiding out from the public. So that's the balance that continues on these types of bills. So we're watching. I just asked Anna Lee, because they were up this week in the Senate side, a bunch of these bills, to make sure that, you know, you're informed on what's going on, but there's no specific one or changes to your code.
Okay, thanks. And then last question is really more for, I guess, you, Mr. Cole, is that there's a section in the report about Governor Newsom easing the drought restrictions. And it looks like he lifted the level 2 water shortage contingency plan. How are we dealing with that?
So there's some complexities in the way that he lifted his executive order. So we did go through those at the Water Resources Committee.
I haven't listened in yet, sorry.
So that's a good check in there. Okay. Matt Dickens did a really good update of kind of how that puzzle fits together.
Okay.
Most likely, given the current situation of allocations and everything, you're going to see the rules probably sunset. So his executive order basically said, okay, I'm done, but the state board actually has to take action.
Okay.
If they don't take action, then it just kind of sunsets off.
Okay.
But there were some things in the executive order that he left in place, like non-functional turf and things like that, that are going to have to get worked through if the state board wants to still have that in place. Okay. So that's kind of an evolving process. I think you'll see us as an agency, we'll probably be recommending that we lift our stage two probably the next month or two.
That's all. Those are all the questions I had. Thank you.
Okay. And I apologize for my question because I came in the middle. But it said here that the governor did not declare the drought over. Did that lift now with the 100% allocation? Or as far as we know, it's still the... Okay. Just asking. And then I was actually curious about what exactly, well, maybe not exactly, but in what direction is AQUA trying to get us to get an exempt or to curb the restrictions on our vehicles? Is there going to be like an exchange or?
Well, so there, you know, we've advocated through the process and testified at the workshops and at the hearings, the 15 day, what they call a 15 day regulatory rule is out. It's been printed. And that does not include the full exemption that we had discussed. They resubmitted a letter. And I actually, just because it's for top of mind, I sent that to Steve and Kathy this evening. Just a few minutes, you know, before the hearing, frankly, and before this meeting, to just to have it there. So, Steve, if you wanted to, you know, it's pretty technical, and it, you know, talks about all the data they're trying to get the flexibility, but the code, they've kept it to essentially, like I said, first responders, you know, police cars, fire cars, ambulances, those kinds of areas, because they do not want to give, you know, too much authority to, you know, or too much flexibility. They don't want every public agency crying that foul that every one of their vehicles needs to be exempt. But AQUA was being fairly definitive in saying, no, it would be the utility vehicles, not the meter reading vehicles or the cars that, you know, are used to run around town, but really the utility vehicles. And it wasn't just obviously water supply, wastewater, both those are pretty essential services. It'd be great that a fire truck could get there, but if the hydrant doesn't work and there isn't water, that's an issue. So it was trying to get extended periods of time for compliance with those and be able to essentially use gas or diesel powered vehicles for a longer period of time. That's the essential for those specific utility vehicles that do the repairs and operations. And frankly, where we've seen it is, there is some concern on the bigger utility vehicles that technology just hasn't evolved quite as quickly. It's coming along quite as quickly as you know, passenger cars and things like that are electrified.
Okay,
we'll be happy to send the letter.
Yeah, because I'm just curious, like, what are we trying to juggle with here?
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for your report. It was great, and I enjoyed all the links. Time. It was a great scavenger hunt.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Molly, did you have any questions?
No.
Okay. Couple questions for you guys. Excellent. Well, I always like Dan Walter's article that ran in our Signals today. I don't know. I assume you saw it on flood control and priorities, talking about the Central Valley. That's an interesting read if you didn't see it. And then I'm sure you know that it looks like Assemblywoman Schiavo and Speaker-elect Rivas are going to be down here looking at Arundo, which is a good sign. Was that something we're on our funding list
Yes.
Yeah.
That's good. And then just a quick question on the Brown Act. You said nothing that applies to local agencies. Is SCB Water considered by the state to be a local agency or a state agency? Because I know when we went on the, when we did the consolidation, it was considered a state agency. How would we be regulated? Do we know?
Dennis? I think we're
all
local. I mean, we feel
we're
local.
Authorized. Sorry, yeah. We're authorized under the water code, but most water agencies are specifically authorized. We happen to be formed under the County Water Agency Act, and that was actually a change. But prior to that, we were under the specific code, and now it's under the County Water Agency Formation Act.
Okay.
And we are a local agency, a special district. So that's another, you know, narrow. Special district authorized by the water code, formed under the County Water Agency Formation Act. And yeah, you guys are a local agency. But every local entity, even cities and counties, are a subdivision of the state. They are authorized by the state. And so that's always interesting. And then there's things like charter cities that have their own authorization code. But anyways, the point is they're still a subdivision of the state, but you are a local agency under, you know, those different definitions.
So the old CLWA Act is no longer, we're like any other water agency. We're not a special act agency like we used to be.
Yeah, we were when Santa Clarita was formed, and the best guy on this you guys have, and that's Joe Byrne.
Yeah.
But the decision was made during the, you know, by the directors, frankly, when we drafted the act to do it under the County Water Agency Act formation. And that's just because it has different, understanding, slightly different contracting rules, slightly different formation rules, a little bit more flexibility for the directors and staff. Steve, you were there too. So
okay,
yeah, I agree. That's
right. Okay. I just remember that we had to go through that whole thing because we were special act, but now we're normal.
I think technically we float somewhere in between. Okay. We have county water district powers. This is a Joe Byrne question.
Okay, I'll stop.
We have our own rule book. It's not just county water district because we have our own special board, you know, set up.
We have conditions.
We brought in some of the Castaic Lake Water Agency powers in addition to the county water district.
Okay. Well, I think I would like to have Joe resolve that. Just so when they say things apply to special districts or local agencies or what, like which one are we going to be under?
Okay.
Going forward.
I can ask.
And then just last question, you didn't mention my favorite SB 366 on infrastructure. Obviously the water rights are huge right now, but is there any action on that or is it just lower priority?
Yeah, no, next week that's going to be up in Senate Natural Resources and Water. Senator Caballero is very involved. I was actually talking to one of the other lobbyists yesterday morning, and he was saying, hey, can you help? And so we're making contacts with some of our key, you know, votes on the committee. The consultant is getting a little maybe over skis a little bit and trying to take out some of the specific numbers and the goal, and I know they're you know kind of getting pushback on, you know, that then what we need to do is lobby the members of the senators themselves, and then they push back on them because they know we want that. So that'll be next, I think it's Tuesday morning at 9:30 that bill will be up. So yes, we're very engaged with that, but you know, I heard the new chair wants quick reports.
Okay. Yeah, I know. Okay. Thank you. No, your reports are always really good. So if we're done, well, thank you for your time and we'll see you next month.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
It is.
Yeah. Okay. And then next up, we have our local update from Hunt Raleigh with Bull and Shafree.
Thank you. Just some of the highlights from the report, and obviously opened up to any questions. The Watershed Steering Committee did not meet again for the second month in a row, but is now scheduled to meet for sure on May 18th, and they're going back to in-person meetings hosted by the City of Santa Clarita. So those will now be open to the public. Attended the K-HITS community trip in Sacramento the third week of March. A lot of good programs, good opportunities to further engage with Senator Wilk and new Assemblywoman Chavo. Although I will comment, and I'm not sure anyone on this call was at it, it seems like it's lost a little bit of its panache and luster. The turnout was down significantly, in my opinion. So we'll see how that evolves going into next year, if it's still as effective as it used to be, or maybe something will change. Also participated in the April 5th legislative staff briefing. I know Kathy's going to give an update on that in her report. I thought, from my perspective, the staff presentations from several members of the staff was excellent. And I think the information that the representatives got was very, very positive and very helpful as we go forward. Board of Supervisors, just two things I'd point out that we'll probably continue to go through meetings in the months ahead, is there's a really yin and yang between how to deal with the number of people in the county prisons, the age of the facilities, desire to deal with mental health issues. A proposal that really makes some significant changes was pulled at the last minute. And we'll see how that goes forward. And then I think I mentioned this in previous meetings. There's going to be, I think, a continued push to change the number of members of the Board of Supervisors, increase it from 5. And we'll see how that progresses and what proposals may occur. That would have to be approved by the voters ultimately. City Council, they did provide support for several pieces of legislation, including AB 1631 by Assemblywoman Chavo, co-authored by Senator Wilk, which is basically taking his bill from last year, which was unsuccessful, dealing with State Water Resources Control Board and the CMEX issue. The other bills tended to deal with criminal issues, fentanyl, but they also supported a bill by Senator Wilk enhancing the ability of cities to conduct marriages, and the city is a sponsor of that bill. City also has spent significant money on a specialized mobile command facility, a unit, which may be something that the water agency should engage with them about in the case of an emergency, might be something that would also be beneficial to us. Subsequent to my report, the city did have its second public hearing on city council districts. It was held on April the 13th. This was where people who had submitted maps could have those considered by the city council. There's still a window of opportunity for additional maps to be filed. Some of them tried to make significant changes to the minority district, and the differentiations were not thought to be acceptable to what the either the law or probably more importantly the city settlement agreement with the plaintiffs. In this case, you've got both the California Voting Rights Act, but then you also have a settlement agreement, which is binding on the city, which created certain rules of procedures for how the final district lines could be done. It does appear there'll be some minor changes where communities were split that shouldn't have been split. For example, behind the gated circle, Jay Ranch, there was half of the community was in another district, which didn't make any sense, or some other issues like that. I think those will probably get cleared up. The council will vote on May 1st and adopt a final map, assuming it's acceptable to the plaintiffs. that will resolve that issue. And the other big unknown is the council will also have to decide which other council seat will be up in 2024. The minority majority, probably a 47% minority district, has to be on the ballot in 2024. And then one other district, we have both Councilman Gibbs and Councilman Smythe. Terms are up in 2024, and the council is going to have to decide which district is also on the ballot. And it is unclear at this point in time how that will happen. If one of the council members decide they're not going to run for re-election, that would make it easier, but we don't know at this point in time. And that's basically my report. Open to any questions anybody might have.
Any questions? Director Armitage?
Thanks. Thank you for your report. Question for Mr. Cole is the specialized mobile command unit, if that happens, I imagine we want to partner with them to make sure that, I don't know, however it's set up, that it includes the ability to partner easily with them in emergency.
Yeah, I'll follow up on that. I know our safety group is meeting fairly regularly with a kind of a broader group that includes the city. So I can follow up and sure that's the case.
I mean, I will just add, there was some public comment opposed to the size of the expenditure, but the city's response was that we're a large enough city, diverse enough, large enough area, that having this available for emergencies would be beneficial to the community. So I'm sure that cooperating with not just the water district, but other public agencies is something that they would be more than happy to do.
Thanks. Maybe they can have a utility truck.
As long as it's not electric.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, is there a way for us to like combine with like the firefighters and something
there's a whole infrastructure of safety management that happens in very large events. So you have an incident command system, and it basically starts layering out from that system. So it is very well structured and drilled and understood who is in which role.
Oh no, I'm just trying to see if this can be a workaround for the carbon emission.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah, I love that.
I see what you're saying.
Do you have any other questions for our local advocates? No?
All good. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So much. We'll see you.
Right.
Annoying nap around me.
Yeah. I was
thought you were just like really passively waving.
No, like my face. Belatedly, and I forgot to ask Dennis this, but what can you see? I mean, I know Aqua knows what they're doing, but the exemption that is available in event of power outages is runtime. Things for like in South Coast, you can run an emergency generator for a short period of time. Maybe they would let us have a time limit rather than a number of vehicles. If you said you could run gas vehicles for no more than 100 hours a year, maybe. I don't know if they've tried that.
That would require two different sets of vehicles.
It would, but somehow that flew for the South Coast.
For special occasions.
Yeah, a special occasion vehicle. That's gas.
It's like a fancy drive.
You know.
You pull it out every once in a while.
If they haven't thought of it, if it would be helpful.
Okay. I can ask the question. I think Director Collins' point is well taken. It's going to be really difficult to have a different fleet.
Yeah. The expense of having a dual fleet.
They sounds like they're going to say no. So you either have some gas vehicles that you use very infrequently or you have none. Those are your two choices.
Or you have somehow a generator to charge the electric vehicles.
Or those power walls. Haven't helped us if we're out of power for like 5 days or something. But it may be localized too.
I think a generator backup is probably more practical than having duplicate fleets.
Well, we already have generators.
Well, we need more, obviously. We would have to have enough to charge the critical vehicles.
Yeah.
That's possible.
Yep. Okay. Well, just a thought. All right, moving on to item four. Yeah.
Thank you. I'm going to do a quick overview of the budget that has been submitted for consideration covering outreach and education. Next. So as if you sat in any other committee budget presentations, they all pretty much start with that first sentence, covering essential functions and fulfilling agency objectives. One piece of that's not in this budget because it's in the staffing and employee budget is the proposed government affairs analyst position that we've talked about previously here. Mm-hmm. Next. So what we try to do with our budget is, of course, align with the strategic plan goals and objectives. We anticipate projects and issues for the coming 2 years that will require communications and outreach. That's a bit of a crystal ball exercise because we never could have anticipated PFAS. And we have been anticipating drought for my first 2 years here and budgeting for it. And then I was like, doesn't seem like it's really going to happen. We could probably cut back. Well, there's always something. So we just make sure we've got a little bit of extra in there just in case. Our budget also has resources to supplement our in-house staffing with these consultants. And this budget, I'll talk a little bit about, we are proposing to expand employee activities and internal communications by a significant amount. Next. So this budget covers outreach and education. You can see the org chart there on the left. Just wanted to point out that two, besides myself, there's two of these are full-time positions, Lindsay and Laura, are public affairs specialists. And the rest of these are all half-time. Next, please. So this is the proposed budget for fiscal years 24 and 25. They are the same each year. And I'll go through these, a couple of them highlight on future slides, but just to give you the overview and the total. And just for a comparison on the top part for the outreach part, not education, previous years, like 21, 22, we were at 553,000. 22, 23, we were at 579,000. And then these years proposed the 554,000. Mm-hmm. Education stays pretty much the same. They have, we try to provide them some resources for some staff training, the JPIA programs and such. And supplies and services for them cover the promo items and educational support items, as well as bus reimbursement for the school districts that send their classrooms up here. Next, please. So the biggest jump on a single item is internal relations, and we're proposing $120,000 each year. Coming back from COVID and having a hybrid work team, besides already having field employees and staff employees, it just is more important than ever for us to kick up our internal relations and engagement and team building opportunities. These are some pictures from the holiday party last year, which I know several of you attended. And if you were in that room, you just felt the vibe. It was fun. It was a good release. It was a good opportunity to connect and laugh at something we hadn't had in quite a while. A few months prior to this, we had formed the Impact Committee, Employee Activities Committee, and that is just a super enthusiastic group. I just recently handed over the reins of that to Kim Grass and Paul Hoover as I prepare for my departure. And they are just really enthusiastic. So what we're looking at, besides the things that where this will include our quarterly all staff meetings, Water Professional Appreciation Week, holiday and retirement celebrations, we're adding other events like this type of event. We're proposing to do this at Halloween with the Halloween theme, and then do at the holidays the evening dinner, like at the Hyatt, where people can bring their spouse. So we'll be able to hit both of those activities that attract different people. And then just some monthly team building activities that might happen at a lunch hour at each location, or maybe we get together for a Thanksgiving potluck. And this will just give us a little bit more money to make those things happen. We find it has a really good impact on the morale of our team.
What's the current budget on this?
We were at 86,000.
Okay, so going to 120 per year.
Mm-hmm. All right, next, please. A couple other highlights just to explain what those line items stand for. Public affairs and partnerships, those cover the sponsorships that you see that tracking sheet for each month. Both water industry and local event participation. Our scholarships are in there. Our water bottle refill station program, which we recently relaunched. We've made contacts with some of the people that have been interested before. Laura is taking over the reins on that one, so we're just gearing that up again. We actually have 4 of the stations in our warehouse right now, just ready to find recipients and get them installed, so working on that. And then we also, after dropping it during COVID, we want to start a discussion again about hosting a water summit of some sort. So not Water Academy or our Water Matters, but Water Summit. Mm-hmm. And so that's covered in that one. Consultant budget, I bumped that up a little bit this year. It was around 90,000. We're at 100,000 each year at this time. And that's just for strategic communication support. So that's RMG communication that helps with PFAS and drought, or Kearns and West that help with our inclusive engagement outreach. So just those extra things. And then we also use that budget for the videography support. And then finally, the last one I'll mention, because it's kind of a generic title, campaigns and messaging. The amount is the same, but that is where we pull from when we do print, digital, streaming, like when you see those ads in the SCV magazine or...
Is it this too?
This one came out of the conservation budget. So Matt's budget is a little bit more robust than mine, so we borrow from his for the stuff that we can directly pin to conservation and drought.
Right. So they have their own...
Yeah.
Separate.
Yeah. Okay. We assist them with spending it.
You're so nice.
Yes. We help them with the outreach. And for instance, RMG Communications, the drought piece of her consultant contract with us actually comes out of their budget, but we manage the contract with her since it's an outreach activity. Matt's staff is very busy just working rebates and helping their customers. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so that's what campaigns and messaging is. That would be to like the ones that you'll see in the K-Hits daily email or pop up on, you know, a website that you might be browsing. You'll see those ads. That's where that comes from.
Is that also the Facebook ads?
You know, we rarely ever pay for, you know what? It is the ones that the Signal, that like the, yeah. Have the sponsored ones. Yes. Yeah. Next. And then while this is not under water resources budget, it comes out of the management budget. It is managed by our team here. So I just wanted to indicate that the $350,000 is what it's been budget, is what it was last year also. So this reflects that again for 23-24. And then a reduction in that, anticipating filling that government affairs analyst position probably towards the end of third quarter. Second quarter, end of 2024, for that fiscal year. So the money that we would spend on our local advocate would shift and towards that enhanced position. And next, that is it. So we just recommend that we incorporate these budgets into the agency budget. And
didn't we already do that? Did we vote on that already?
No. You ran through it at the finance.
Finance, okay, okay. Yeah.
So it's going to the board.
Yeah.
We'll be going to the board. I don't
need to get the quite measuring.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. There's missed the time.
Yeah. Is there any public comment on this?
There is none.
No. Okay. Any director questions?
I was just a little curious. What would a water summit be?
So we talked about it. We started planning one. We had the Hyatt booked. We had speakers lined up, and COVID hit. So it was right that year, 2020. And we looked at it a couple different ways, but the first one that we were interested that the board had talked about was similar to Orange County Water Summit. I don't know if any of you have been to that one. So it's like an industry event. It's, this one isn't necessarily geared towards the average customer. Our thought was to invite more like business leaders, neighboring water agencies, experts from out of the area. It was still be of interest to some customers, but that wouldn't be the focus. We've got a lot of other things right now where we're sharing that type of information. I can't remember what the theme was we had.
I can't either. Mm-hmm. I know we were going to have a kind of a nationally recognized pollster mm-hmm. that was going to talk kind of globally about water issues and the public's yeah. opinion about those. So we were trying to stay a little bit elevated in a different thing that would appeal to kind of a different audience than we normally yeah. target. And I can't remember what the other, that was,
if I have,
that was two and a half years, three. It was right before COVID.
Yeah.
Do the
same one.
So we had
my memory is doing that.
We had a consultant helping us with that. She for like 10 years was the coordinator of this Orange County Water Summit. They hold it at the Disneyland Hotel. I'm sure I still have all the files from it. Anyways, just more industry level trends. One of our goals is to place ourselves in a position of expertise and leadership in the water industry among our water peers, and that's what the goal of this event would be.
It's really, it almost sounds like a little mini Urban Water Summit or something, and I noticed what Urban Water Institute, I'm sorry, and it was interesting because they actually had mayors there for the first time, and they talked about the interaction with other agencies and kind of building awareness. The mayors to us, and the question was asked about, are you viewed as a, expert? What do you need from us? What do you not know? So building the reputation of the water community, they thought it was important.
Yes. That's good.
So, and it was interesting that they brought in non-water people too, specifically for that reason. So would you invite, I think a one-day format would pull more people like that than a multi-day.
Yeah, we were looking at even half a day, sort of like the Economic Development Corporation, right. The Economic Summit,
right?
That kind of thing, where it was a half a day and a meal on either side. And
yeah, so you might get one or two city council people, or maybe, whoever, the head of Magic Mountain.
Exactly.
That kind of thing. Yeah.
Chamber people, BIA people.
Yeah.
And then, like I said, our neighboring water agencies and watershed stakeholders,
country
people.
Yes, yeah, so I'm sure Sierra Club would send mm-hmm. somebody to hear. Yeah,
and we had a cost associated with it, so we had even talked about scholarships for the nonprofit agencies mm-hmm. and some other attendance, just to make sure we had the people in the room that we thought that should be there. If there was
that would be cool.
Cost factor. I think it would be good.
Yeah. So that's on the schedule for what year?
I actually have a budget for both.
Okay,
if we can make it. We can make it happen.
No if.
I'm still in denial that
Kathy's, make it happen.
Kathy's leaving. I'm just going with the denial approach.
I think I definitely.
I just want to say thank you. I know you added a little extra detail in there. I feel like from previous times that this presented, and I want to say thank you for that because I feel like it had a little more meat and gave us a little more information to understand. So appreciate that.
Great. Yeah. Thank you for the feedback.
Yeah.
And then the interns, where does that budget, they come out of what budget?
Each department budget, it's in there, but not reflected in these presentations, has salary and benefits and all that stuff. So it would be good.
So that was one question. Even though it's not out of our budget, the advocacy thing, it was $350 to $315. Does that include the new position as well? The $315?
No, that's reflecting
just
taking focus. Reducing the what
okay.
we pay.
So we're only paying them $35,000.
We pay them $60,000, but the position, new position, probably won't be the full year,
okay.
so it may not be.
That's
the
why.
Year, so the
okay. of the year. Didn't add up. I thought we were paying. Okay, thank you. I'm good.
Any other questions? Okay. All right. Thank you. Yeah, that was a really good summary. I appreciated seeing the other pieces that aren't in our budget and explaining. I was always a little confused how the conservation outreach worked and, you know, where the advocate budget was. So that was very clear. All right. And five. Communication manager report.
Okay, briefly, we've talked about a few of them already. Recruitment update, we have a second round of interviews next Friday, the 28th, interviewing four people, and we hope to be able to make a selection by the end of that day, and then take it from there. Water Academy, I think Matt, I mentioned it at the last board meeting, but we did successfully complete our first session of the Water Academy. And it was really gratifying that last day where people shared what they got out of it and they were saying exactly what we had all hoped would it would bring. You know, just understanding that there's people behind this utility, that there's professionalism and expertise and nice people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So then, you did a survey. What was? I mean, besides what they said, how, like
you know what? I don't have that.
Okay.
Thank you. I will get that from Laura.
Okay.
That's a great thing. We'll have somebody distribute it to the board.
That'd be cool.
Okay. Legislative staff briefing. Had mentioned it. We did host the group here on April 5th. We ended up, it's something on Michelle's office, ended up not being able to attend at the last minute. But a lot of what we presented was what we presented to her one-on-one when she had first reached out to us in January, and we're in regular contact with them. Overall, it went really well. We used to do those on an annual basis, but COVID. And something we did differently this time is just expand the staff that was there presenting. It was usually Matt and Steve and me doing all the talking. So we had Matt Dickens and Mike Albert and Courtney and some others that all came in and presented on different aspects of our water supply, water quality, all of our priority issues. So it was a really good conversation.
So whose staff was here?
So the city was here, Missy's from the city. And there was someone from Tammy Stevens was here from Garcia's office. And Natalie and Stephanie from Catherine Barger's office. Chris Huff was supposed to be here and she came down sick that morning, so she didn't take it either. But it was good. It was definitely worthwhile. We've got a couple of events. If you're out and about in town, come by. This weekend we are at the Cowboy Festival on Main Street. Great. We will have our water refill station set up near Trocadero, El Trocadero Mexican restaurant. So that's Main and
Market.
Yeah. So we're right in that intersection area. Casey will be out there and a couple of our guys. And then next week, we have the mini water expo, the Home Garden Show. They've flipped the layout of the event, so our booth will be over closer to the restroom side. We're doing the butterfly garden again. And we're just really excited. Gilcrest Farm saw what Carl had brought in last year, and they said, we want to do that. So I haven't seen it, but they built their own butterfly enclosure. So it's a Gilcrest Farms event rather than bringing in an outside vendor. So they're doing the butterfly encounter.
Uh-huh.
And we're happy. We're buying plants and stuff from Green Thumb to help furnish the setup. So excited to see how that comes out. And you got your garden smarter.
Yes, it's beautiful, by the way.
It is really cool. And we have got a great digital version of it online. We're getting ready to send out a email version of it too that looks just clickable and it opens up that page on the topics. It's really well about this. The company that does this is just really, really great to work with. And then last thing, again, Director Roots, I just mentioned this. We are hosting Assemblywoman Schiavo and Speaker-elect, Speaker-designee, meet us this Saturday. They reached out and wanted to see Arundo in person.
Yeah.
So we're going to meet them down there in the riverbed at 9 o'clock. So it'll be Matt Stone and myself, Director Martin, a couple of people from the city, and then Assemblywoman Schiavo and Rivas's staff.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, that was great. They reached out.
They see them, maybe they'll push the money our way.
We were sad that it's on a day that Heather Miranda can't be there. She is truly the expert.
Yeah, she's super knowledgeable.
But Darren C. Miller, her boss, is going to be there. So,
okay. So you can talk. Yeah, I really enjoyed when we did it with the other.
Just Katie Hill.
Like the other person, Katie Hill, the way they talk about what they go through at the city was really interesting.
Yeah.
So he'll be able to talk on that topic as well. Yeah.
And then Matt will talk on just the impact on water supply. And I think that's all I have.
Any public comment on this? Any other director questions?
No, I'll just say again, this is beautiful. I love this. This is pleasing to the eye. It looks like just at first, I haven't read everything, obviously, we just saw it, but it looks like the topics are really great. Thank you to Debbie Arrington, who seems to have written every article in this. Who's that? She's the author of the article.
So this company, NMR Publications, they just have such a great product, the way they do this. And they are all former journalists and editors and storytellers. And so it just really comes out, all of the things they do.
So amazing. I know we have an electronic version that will get sent out, but where are we planning on giving these out?
We're going to bring in the events that we do and get some other distribution plans.
Yeah, this would be good too. I know you mentioned you're going to the farmers markets. I always pick up their magazine, their edible magazine. If you put this out next to their farmer market magazines, people will take these. But I agree, this is great. And I love the tone of this. Like it's, you know, it's catchy, and it's not negative. It's like how to be stress-free, you know, all this like catchy, like grow up, grow vertical gardens. I mean, grow up, you know, it's like a play on words. I really like that it's upbeat, like things that you can do versus you're a bad person for having grass. That tone never worked well with me. So
it's cool. Thank you for featuring natives.
Okay, we will move on to the next one is committee planning calendar.
We want to talk about the May.
Yeah, maybe a little bit. The next committee meeting falls on the Economic Development Corporation's
summit
elected leaders night. So I didn't know if there was interest amongst the committee about, we can look at a different date.
I it's funny because I didn't RSVP to that because of this.
Yeah, same.
And I like that event.
Well, let us, if there's interest to just moving the date, we can work on that and see if we can get land on a different date.
I know we had some light calendar days coming up. Was this one of the ones that we thought we would end
up? There might be a couple things we want to get on, so we'll look at that too. But let us look at the,
if you want to have it, give us some other days. Okay, and then I'll let April know, because I can't believe I can't go to that. That is, it's fun. The people from CalArts are really nice. Mm-hmm. I like them.
I noticed that too.
Yeah.
Well, you all go have fun now. We'll hold down the work.
I don't know if they lost staff, but what I like about it is that they express how much they want to be part of the community. And it's a lot like the water agency that, you know, I mean, I've lived here for 30 years and I never really knew anything about CalArts, but they want to engage with the elected officials. that's why they're hosting it. But also you learn a little bit about the school or things that they're doing in the process. So much like we've hosted the chamber mixers in the past, it's just another way to kind of get to know people in the community. And for a place that is kind of obscure, if you don't know anything about CalArts, you learn a little bit. So it's a good event.
I have a kid that wants to go there.
Did you go there last
year? No, I have a kid that wants to
go. I know, but did you go to
it? Oh, I was there last year, yeah.
Get your 529 plan together now.
I know, like, you're going to just have to start selling art earlier.
Yeah.
All right. So other than that, anything else on the calendar we need to work on? No. All right. If we have nothing else, it looks like we're at adjournment.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for the long week of meetings. I think most of you were in all of them.
Those are some
long ones. So we're there.
I don't think that always happens, does it?
Yes.
I don't know.
It's the third.